Hi, Kim Lisa Taylor again, here to teach you more about marketing your offering to investors and crowdfunding basics. Thank you all for coming back after going through the last offer or the last set of slides on structuring your offering and syndication and securities offering rules. I know that that was a little bit tough to go through, but it's necessary information. So now that you've got that, let's roll right into what are we going to do with the offering now you have it? First of all, I do need to remind you again that this is not specific legal advice. We're just talking about educational material right now, trying to get you guys up to speed so you can go out and become successful syndicators. So we're going to talk in this segment about the three steps to success as a syndicator. So the first thing you're going to need to think about is what kind of marketing tools you will need to be able to show your offering to prospective investors, and how will you bring new prospective investors into your world so that you can start talking to them about investment opportunities. So that's number one. And then once you have found those investors, what do you do to keep them interested in you and what you're doing? Because it can take you a long time to find deals and to find good deals that you actually need investment funds for. So the next step is building and investing, building those investor relationships and maintaining them over the long term. And then the third thing is, how do you go about making the offers and funding your deals? What's the appropriate time for you to be able to do that? And are there things that have to happen first before you're ready to actually start making offers? So starting with the marketing tools. The purpose of any marketing tool is to establish credibility, familiarity, and trust. So you want to get your name out there so that people have heard it enough times. They know you're not a fly-by-night kind of person. They see that you're going to be in this business for the long term, that you're actually buying deals, finding deals, bringing investment opportunities to them that they are interested in. So that's your familiarity. Then credibility. They want to see that you actually have a team that can get the deal done, that can deliver what you're offering, and they want to know after they've seen you out there long term that you aren't going to go away with their money. So the different kinds of tools you need, the very first thing is you're going to need to think about branding your investment company. And we'll talk about different, you know, company names. What do you need to think about? But you've got to think that through. There are some really good books out about branding, so you might want to pick up some of those as well. There's a lot of information about branding out on the internet. You're going to need a business card, something that you can hand somebody that you meet that tells them who you are and what you do and your title and how to contact you. You're going to need a website. You know, pretty much difficult to do business in this day and age without having a web presence. And the first time somebody looks at your business card, they're going to look to see if you have a website. And if you do, they're going to want to go there and see what that website says about you. And that's where they're going to start building that familiarity, that trust, that credibility. So your website has to reflect those things. Company brochure. So something that you could actually hand somebody. Really what this is a paper website. It almost has the same information that you would put on your website, you know, about us, who we are, where we're located, you know, who's on our team, what do we do. Those are the same kinds of things that you would put onto your website pages, but you're just condensing them into a brochure that you would be able to take to a meeting and hand to somebody if you were meeting with them face to face, or maybe you could email that to them if they weren't going to go to your website. So a pitch book, that's the same thing I called in the last segment an investment summary. There's different names for that. Some people call it a business plan. I call it an investment summary. Other people call it a pitch book. Really, it's just the meat of the deal. All right, what are you offering and where is it? And what if it's a specific property, you're going to show the address, you're going to show pictures, you're going to talk about the unit mix, all those different things that make up that property. You're going to show some projections. If you were doing a blind pool where you were going to buy multiple properties, you're going to raise money in advance and buy multiple properties, then your investment summary would be a little different. It would be more like a business plan. The reason I don't call it a business plan is because a business plan actually goes into a lot of different information that your investors don't need, but that is relevant to you internally with your management team. So an investment summary is kind of a condensed version of a business plan that really just shares with the investors the information they're interested in regarding what you're offering. You're gonna have to have some stationery if you're doing anything live, like, or if you're mailing out postcards or letters or anything like that. You may be able to get away with not having stationery if you make a business decision that all of your marketing is going to be done over the internet. A newsletter, if you're going to be doing an email marketing campaign or something like that, then you've got to have some content that you can share with your investors and something that they'd be interested in opening and reading every single month or however frequently you're going to be sending that out. And you need some kind of a conversation starter. So what is it that you're going to say to somebody when you meet them face to face and they ask you what you do? That's a conversation starter. So we'll just go a little more in depth into those things. So starting with your company name, you know, a brand, what is a brand? A name, term, sign, symbol, or design, or a combination of them, intended to identify the goods and services of one seller and to differentiate them from those of other sellers. That's from the American Marketing Association. So that brand is your distinguishing feature, something that sets you apart from other people, something that makes you memorable. So how do you name your company? Here's some rules of thumb that you should think about. It should be memorable. It should be easy to spell. It should be easy to pronounce. It should contain some simple visual element, if possible. If you can incorporate that in there so that when someone says the name of your company, they get a visual image, Blue Sky Investments, or something like that, right? You're thinking about blue sky. That's a happy thing. Positive connotation. So something that is fun, humorous, inspirational, sophisticated. You don't want to use something that has a negative connotation to it, or, you know, maybe is distasteful. So something that somebody would be proud to say that they've invested in. And unique. And the unique part is the hard part that's getting very difficult to do. If you're thinking about a company name and you want to test it, go to GoDaddy.com and see if that domain is available. And if you don't see that domain there, just try to think of other iterations of it that will work, that are domains that are available. Because you don't want to use something that somebody else has already used. As an example, I had a company name one time that I called Alluvion. And I was going to use it as an investment company. And then I recently did a Google search on it, and there was a company named Alluvion that had been in trouble for securities fraud. So that was no longer going to be a viable name for me to use, so I abandoned that. So you have to think about what it is and whether it's memorable. So memorable, a lot of people like to go to Latin words and come up with words that have some meaning, but only if you know Latin. And generally those are hard to spell, hard to remember. Not advisable unless it is a word in common usage. So choosing a name. So you want to have one or two common words followed by something else. If you have to make something unique, you can use initials. So think of it like this. Blank, blank, and these are kind of suffixes you can use after the two words that you've chosen that have meaning for you. So something, something, group, holdings, properties, management, partners, capital, investments, manager. Those are just some ideas of words that you could put after a couple of words that you've chosen that have that brand style meaning. So next you're going to create a winning logo. You want to have a good, clean design. And here's some examples of some good, clean designs. Not a cluttered design that's hard to read. You be careful of typefaces that are very difficult to read, because people, if they can't read it, then they can't remember it, they can't pronounce it or spell it, and you're gone from their memory as soon as they've seen it. So that's not going to help you. So make sure you're looking for something that's easily memorable, easily identified. Okay, so then the next thing you're going to focus on once we've decided, so what are you going to do with that company name? Let's just go back a minute and look at what are we doing with that brand? All right, so that brand is going to become kind of the central company around which all of your other syndication companies are going to revolve. So as you're finding properties, putting them under contract, you're generally going to create a separate, what I call an investor LLC. So that's the LLC that's going to take title to the property and going to sell investment units to investors. That LLC, as we just talked about in the last segment, is going to have a manager. So that manager LLC also has to have a name. You might want to focus more on branding the manager LLC than the investor LLC, because properties will come and go. You're going to have multiple properties over the course of your life as a syndicator, but your management team may largely stay intact. So that's the one that you kind of want to brand, and you want to build off from that brand, because everything you present to the public can have those two words and another word behind it. So maybe your first property is going to be Blue Sky Property 1 or Blue Sky Properties. And then the second one is going to be Blue Sky Properties 2. You know, you have some options there. Or you might choose to name your investor LLCs after the property itself, and then have the manager LLC be the common element in all of those deals. And I like that structure the best. So next, once you've decided what your company name is going to be, you're going to need to go out and get that domain. So you'll go to the GoDaddy or one of the other hosting sites or web reseller sites, and you're gonna buy that domain, and or something that reflects that domain. Then you're gonna also need to go to the Secretary of State. Generally, that's gonna be in the place where you live, right? So your branded company should be formed in the state you live in. I know some people tell you to form everything in Delaware or form it in Nevada or form it in Alaska, and generally I find that the people that are saying those things are attorneys from those states. So you're really better off to form it in the state where you're located, because you are legally obligated to have your company licensed in the state where you're doing, registered in the state you're doing business. If you live somewhere, you're doing business from that state, you would have to take your LLC that you formed in another state and register it there anyway. You're better off just to register it in your state. So that's something to think about. When you go to form your investor LLCs, you might form those in the state where the property is located, most likely. All right. So once you've formed your company, and you should be doing this with advice of counsel, because there are a lot of things to think about when you're doing that. And I actually had someone call me not too recently who had taken some wrong advice, and they'd formed a company in Delaware, and then they were buying property in Maryland, and then they had a management company in Connecticut or some, you know, and I'm not sure those are the exact states, but just to give you a gist of what they were doing. And their structure was wrong for a lot of reasons, and part of it was they'd created some adverse tax situations for themselves, as well as they had kind of locked themselves in, because now they had been approved for a loan with that Delaware entity that now had to be registered in the state where the property was located also. And they really just complicated their lives, because now they have to do tax returns in multiple states and all of these things, and it's just very complicated. So talk to an attorney first, and you know, really the goal with your attorney should be to find the simplest solution that works for you, rather than trying to make it overcomplicated so it works for the attorney. All right, so your website, brochure, or your pitch book. So you're going to build those around your brand. All right, what are we doing? Talking about your company mission, your vision, your purpose. That's going to be one of the elements of that. Your website, your brochure, or your pitch book. You're going to have to talk about that, because that's what's going to bring investors in. They want to know what you're about. And then what are you doing and where are you doing it? And who's doing it with you? So they want to know who's on your team. So if you've never done this before, you might have a hard time raising money from investors if you've never ever invested in a multifamily property before. But if you can team with somebody who's got some experience, you can elevate your experience exponentially just by teaming with somebody else. Because all of a sudden, they're looking at you as one of the team members, but the other team member with the experience is going to be the focus of what your investors are looking at. So that's going to be important to you. Maybe for your first deal or two, you really need to team with somebody with some multifamily experience. But then after that, you've got the experience. And when you're teaming with somebody, you want to be on their management team. And so it's not just in name only. You should have a role, and you should help with all of the aspects of the syndication, and that's how you're going to get the well-rounded experience that's going to help you start being able to do your own deals down the road, is being able, you know, making sure that you participate in finding deals, doing due diligence, finding investors, and, you know, helping with the legal documents. All of these things are going to help make you a better syndicator when you start out doing it on your own.